Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez won an important electoral victory on February 15th when voters passed a referendum abolishing term limits for all offices in the oil-rich nation, including the presidency. Chavez, in power since 1998, has vowed to extend and consolidate his self-described socialist Bolivarian revolution if he should win re-election in 2013, the year his current term in office expires. Often bluntly critical of President Bush and Washington's policies toward Latin America, Chavez has infuriated U.S. power brokers by using his country's oil resources to redistribute wealth to Venezuela's poor, nationalizing American-owned corporations and making alliances with U.S. adversaries. The U.S. media often parrots the government's demonization of Chavez, branding him an egomaniacal demagogue and dictator, even as the White House backed an unsuccessful military coup against the democratically elected leader in 2002. While the negative media coverage of Chavez is predictable, it decidedly is not even-handed, as noted in a recent study of American newspaper editorials about Venezuela as compared to neighboring Colombia, a staunch U.S. ally. In a new report titled Human Rights Coverage Serving Washington's Needs, the group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, or FAIR, found editors downplaying Colombia's abuses and amplifying Venezuela's. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Steve Rendell, senior analyst with FAIR, who summarizes the report, observing that U.S. newspapers seem more interested in reinforcing official U.S. policy toward the region than in genuinely supporting the rights of Colombians and Venezuelans.
Well, as we came into the referendum, you saw a lot of attention to the fact that Chavez was trying to lift or abolish term limits. You saw some references to him as attempting to make himself president for life. Now, of course, that's a lie. He was merely trying to arrange so that a president could run every 6 years for an indefinite number of terms, a situation that, by the way, we had in this country until Franklin Roosevelt, and nobody said that U.S. presidents were assaulting democracy, which is the way a lot of reporting and commentary frames Chavez's moves. But, you know, there's a pretty easy little experiment one can do, and that is try to find similar situations and see how they were reported on. And in fact, anybody who knows Colombia's recent history knows that the current president there, Alvaro Uribe, was pressing to extend term limits for himself in Colombia in 2004. And he succeeded in getting the Colombia Congress to pass by one vote an amendment to the Constitution to allow him to seek a second term. He is currently in the process of trying to change it again to allow him to seek a third term. We do not hear relentlessly in the U.S. press about Uribe being anti-democracy or his efforts being an assault on democracy. In fact, we don't even hear about his efforts. And this is in spite of another feature of his efforts that make it far more newsworthy. That one vote that he won by back in 2004, that was secured through bribery by Uribe's aides. It was a huge story in Colombia. The woman, the member of Congress who accepted some in-kind donations and some promises of jobs in return for her vote, is serving 47 months under house arrest today. I think another person is in prison. I don't know that person's name or exactly what their role is, but I have read about them. Now, get this straight. Uribe's efforts to extend his term limits include bribery in the supposed democratic system of Colombia, and he comes off in the U.S. press as the U.S.'s favorite Democrat in the area, certainly the largest recipient of U.S. aid in the hemisphere. But Chavez, who holds a free and fair, that's what they're calling it so far, a free and fair public vote, a referendum on the issue of term limits and wins, is called anti-democratic. So what you see here, and this gets back to the subject of our study, what you see here is just an absolute gobsmacking double standard. There's no other way to put it.
Now, you looked at newspaper stories over a 10-year period and specifically focusing on Venezuela's human rights record versus Colombia's. Colombia, of course, engaged in a decades-long civil war with the FARC and other guerrilla groups. And there's been, you know, numerous human rights abuses. Tens of thousands have been killed, many civilians. Journalists have been targeted. Union activists have been massacred. But in Venezuela, there isn't that kind of civil conflict going on. And the human rights situation is certainly markedly better, of course, than what we see in Colombia. But your study found what?
We looked actually at editorials in four major papers, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, and the Miami Herald. We chose the Herald because they do so much coverage and have so much commentary of Latin America. So those four papers, we looked over a 10-year period from 1998 through 2007. We looked at every editorial that addressed the human rights situations in either Venezuela or Colombia. Whatever Venezuela's faults are, they do not compare to the dismal, the gruesome situation in Colombia. So what we thought is if these editors at these four big dailies were trying to do the job of journalism, and that is, in this case, as editors through commentary, trying to educate their readers about the situation in Venezuela and Colombia, and maybe to some degree trying to help that situation by shining a light on the human rights problems, if they were actually trying to do an even-handed job, they would actually portray Colombia as being a far grimmer place as far as human rights than Venezuela. But that's not what we found. We found upwards of 90% of their editorials about Venezuela cast Venezuela in a negative light. A little less than 10% of those same editorials about Venezuela were mixed. In other words, they said good things and bad things about human rights in Venezuela. Colombia was a different story. With Colombia, a majority of the editorials that addressed human rights in Colombia gave Colombia either a positive or a mixed report. And something I think in the neighborhood of 35 or 40% of the stories were solely or only negative. So if you came in from outer space, Scott, and all you knew about Colombia and Venezuela's human rights records was what you read in these four papers' editorial pages, you would think Colombia was a safer place than Venezuela. So in other words, these editors have basically turned the human rights situation in those two countries on their head. And the question really is why? Why do they do that?
That was Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. FAIR's report, Human Rights Coverage Serving Washington's Needs, can be read online at fair.org or call their office at area code 212-633-6700.